Saddle up your horses.
Welcome, everyone, to the Robin Walter Show. We're blessed to have you. We're blessed to be here, blessed to be alive, and fighting every day of our life for those things which we love. Yeah. You know, somebody asked me about fighting and why do men fight? Well, I didn't have an immediate answer, but I got thinking about it, and now I have one. You know what? You are not a good fighter, men. I'm going to talk particularly to men for just a second here. I'm not necessarily excluding women, but men need to be real men. We need men of God on this planet, on this earth, on this country, in this country. And it is okay to be a great fighter. It's a good thing, but you will never, ever be a great fighter unless you're first a great lover. That's right. If you're not a great lover, you won't be a great fighter. And what I mean is, if there aren't things that you love, then you don't have anything to fight for. Do you think somebody joins the Marines because they hate the United States and they couldn't give a rip whether it goes down the tubes of socialism? No. You fight for that which you love. If you love it enough, you'll fight for it enough. And because I love the children, grandchildren, and other people's children and grandchildren more than, frankly, adults, I fight because of the love and the passion I have for young people, generally, specifically children, which is why this program is being entitled The War Against Our Children. Now, I want to cover some other things because it's going to get pretty heavy, and I'm going to start with something. Gosh, I've never done this before. Something sort of light, kind of interesting, and I think you'll be intrigued by it. Before I do that, I just want to let you know, you can get us in podcast, The Robin Walter Show with spaces. Put that in with your podcast button. You'll pull it up on any one of a number of venues. If you're on Rumble, which is where we'll end up after we get canceled on other platforms, is Robin Walter Show. Forget the, and there's no spaces. Put that in the search bar. You got it. That will become the preferred vehicle in the process of time, unless they go south. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to pull out a paper and a pencil, if you can. Well, okay. I see that hand. It's okay to use a pen instead of a pencil. Oh, yes, and a napkin in front instead of... But anyway, I want you to write out on this piece of paper the two variations to the COVID-19, Delta and Omicron. Delta and Omicron. Omicron, O-M-I-C-R-O-N. Write those out. Then below it, write out the words media control. Media control. And start up there with a D for the Delta and cross it off, and then cross off the D in media. Go through all the letters of Delta Omicron and go through all the letters of media control, and you will find out that, and I'm not saying this necessarily means something, it's just an incredible coinkydink, that the words Delta Omicron is actually a letter scramble that unscrambled spells media control. Isn't that something? Well, I don't know. Just because inquiring minds want to know, that just kind of blows me away. I thought I'd get into that. But I'm going to cover randomly a few stories here. I just want to cover. They're important, but I'm going to be brief. I want to get them out of the way. But it's not because they're unimportant. I want to get to our topic of the day. I was thrilled to watch. I haven't been watching the Trump rallies. Which you can only really get on, Newsmax. Newsmax TV is the only place you can see these. The others won't show them. And I haven't been watching them, not because I don't want to, but because there's a similarity in a lot of them, and I get it. I'm a big Trump fan. That's well known. But the one from Washington, Michigan. That's right, a town called Washington, Michigan. And I was particularly drawn because it's from my home state. There were 21,000 people. 21,000 people trying to get in to that rally who couldn't make it. Now compare that to Hillary Rodham, spelled R-O-T-T-E-M, Clinton, and her things where they had to Photoshop people into the crowds because they didn't have any. And then the one reporter who got fired because he turned around and showed the venue where Clinton was speaking, and with the exception of about 18 people, it was completely empty. Joe's people, our stooges, are paid. I mean, how big of a crowd could you get inside of his basement during the campaign? Nobody shows up at his. That one speech where he gave where people were in their cars at a drive-in theater, even the cars were social distancing. It was just so unbelievably stupid. That's how, it's just one of a million ways that we know the election was stolen. And it came out this week. Election fraud in Arizona. Something all of us knew, that Biden stole, ripped off the election from Donald Trump. And in that respect, he's no different than Vladimir Putin, is he? No. Putin's elections are rigged, and so are Biden's. He doesn't even have an advantage over Putin in that regard. And I'm going to revisit that topic briefly in a minute because there, I think, was some misunderstanding on what I was trying to say. I do want to comment briefly on new Supreme Court Justice Jackson. From her perspectives, from her racist attitudes, from her CRT, critical race theory support, to her support for abortion, to not knowing what is a woman and as a man. Who is a congressman that said, hey, it's pretty easy, two X chromosomes and a tallywhacker, and you got the decision made. And now he's getting castigated. I got to be careful how I say that word. But here's my hope, with notwithstanding the fact that we have added a loser to the Supreme Court. There are those on the left that have walked the leftist walk. They've spoken the leftist speak. They have to do that to advance. Got to go up through the ranks. So they just kowtow, right, to the political drivers, which is enabling their advancement. I mean, look at Kamala Harris. I mean, what did she do? She fornicated her way into office with Willie Brown in California. Well, I'm not going to go any farther than that. That speaks for herself. But here's my hope, that when you get to the top, there's no more advancement. You don't need the people who got you there. And now, hopefully, you can be sensitive to something else in your life, which has been harassing you mentally because you haven't been true to yourself, much less true to your creator. So I'm hoping that now that she can no longer rise any higher, she no longer has to kowtow to those who advanced her career, she can be maybe, hopefully, something that I hope she really is within, or she becomes something she wasn't. And she's shocked and stunned. Biden thinks he's got an ace up the hole, and then when she comes out and free, finally, of the political pressure that's moved her and has advanced her, maybe she'll surprise us. Because, you see, this cuts both ways. Gianni Roberts, advanced his way, towing a conservative line generally. He got as high as he can go. He's on the Supreme Court. He's a Chief Justice on the Supreme Court. And he's the biggest disappointment on the Supreme Court. So my prayer at this point is that God would simply open her eyes and cause her to cease to be a pawn of the left. Next random story, but of importance, Homeland Security has now become the 20th agency to track all of its employees who have gotten exemptions or didn't get the exemption, still got the shot, because they got denied the exemption. They are tracking and collecting, maintaining their records on employees that got religious exemptions, employees that didn't get religious exemptions but applied for it, and those applicants who didn't even get the job but wanted religious accommodations. Because even though it is illegal, the vaccine mandate is still somehow staying in place in the federal workforce. So let me ask, pray tell, what do they need to know that for? Oh, they want to know who to come after. They already got an idea who just might have guns in their house that are not registered, where it's not required to be registered. And good news, Georgia became the 25th state last week for constitutional carry. Constitutional carry, what does it mean? It means you don't need no stinking permit from the government to buy a gun. Yeah, you have to pass a background check with the FBI, which clears up and should clear up all concerns about whether you are fit from a criminal perspective to own a gun. But you don't have to jump through the hoops and prove that you need the gun with stupid states like California, New York, Massachusetts, Illinois, and all those left of libtard states. But Homeland Security. So here's the deal. Don't apply for no stinking federal job. Go get a real job. Okay. I read a piece. I want to move on here to the issue about Biden versus Putin. I made some comments last week, which I would not change anything. But I think a few misunderstood when I said that in my way of thinking, in my mind, Joe Biden was more evil than Vladimir Putin. In no way, shape, or form, and I thought I made it clear, did I say Putin is free of accusation, accurate accusation, for being cruel, barbarian, in the reckless, willful, wanton recklessness by which the generals are carrying out the war and the slaughter of men, women, and particularly children. Okay? I'm not going to defend the man in the least. But it has to be understood, first of all, what's going on in the Ukraine, but why Joe Biden is distinctly worse morally. More morally unfit to hold office than Vladimir Putin. I really believe that. Now, we just covered the fact that they both deal with rigged elections. Joe can't even point to democracy as having that in his back pocket. Joe Biden actually followed a policy of another Joe called Joe Stalin, the hero of Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin's hero is Joe Stalin. Nobody to emulate. But Joe Biden followed Joe Stalin, too, because it doesn't matter how many people vote. It matters who counts the votes. That's what Joe Stalin said. And that's what the Joe Biden campaign did through the $400 million of Mark Zuckerberg. Well, I read an interesting piece. I'm going to circle back to this. Gosh, am I quoting Jen Psaki now? Forgive me, please. An article by Henry Kissinger, who I never was a huge fan of Kissinger. Can't really remember why I didn't really like him, but he wrote an article back in 2014, which I read just the other day. He said, you know, to understand the beginning of a Ukraine crisis, you have to understand how it should end. I thought, well, that's interesting, because he wrote it 8 years ago. And he said, and I will make this very succinct, as succinctly as I can to get to my point. He said, under no way should the Ukraine be forced back into the Soviet circle. But under no circumstance should Ukraine join NATO. This is pretty insightful. Prescient, I think, would be the word. Having this insight into things that are before you. Prescient, I think that's how you pronounce it. And he said, you can't have a NATO country that NATO being diametrically opposed to everything the Soviets stand for and vice versa, sitting on the border of Russia. It's why Finland doesn't join NATO, because it's a buffer country between Russia and NATO countries. You said you can't have Ukraine be an outpost for the West sitting on the Russian border, nor, which makes a great point. But you also can't deny the Ukrainians the right of self-determination and the right to attempt to hold free and fair elections, which is what brought me, which I've said a couple of times, to my quote of Proverbs 26:17, and why we should not be engaged materially and as by way of troops and things in the Ukraine situation, because the person who meddles in an affair not of his own is like one who picks a dog up by the ears. Now, I'm going to return to that in just a minute, because I am not a Democrat in anything. There's nothing I identify with the Democratic Party. Nothing. I'm not a Democrat in anything, but I'm also not a Republican in everything. You get the distinction. A lot of ways there's some things I don't like about the Republican Party. Most of them I like. But I'm not a Democrat in anything. I'm not a Republican in everything. And what those things that I'm not a Republican in, I am a libertarian. And the one person with whom I can truly identify with and always libertarian as it relates to specifically foreign policy, international relations, and war is Rand Paul. And he is the one who, from a political and a historical perspective, picks up and employs the principle of Proverbs 26:17, and that is, you don't go meddling in affairs that are not of your own, because if you do, you're like the one who picks up the dog by the ears. You're holding this dog. This dog is ticked. He's hurt. You got him by the ears. It's painful. The only thing he wants to do is bite your stinking ankle, your leg off. So you can't let him down because he's going to bite your leg off. So what are you stuck doing? You're stuck holding the dog. So let's suggest here. Now, what the Holy Spirit did here when I thought of this passage, this is as far as I've ever gone with this passage. But the Lord pushed me through to a further application of that passage as it relates to international relations and yet a deeper degree. We get into these countries. We can't get out. We're holding the dog by the ears because we can't let him down. He bit our leg off, so we're stuck. If we sent troops into the Ukraine, there's only one thing I can promise. We would have troops, barring the return of Jesus, we would have troops in Ukraine for the next 50 years because we got a dog by the ears. But every country, eventually, even the United States, your arm gets fatigued. The dog gets heavy. The dog gets expensive. You need to get out. But here's what happens. This is what the Lord showed me. When you go to let the dog down, you hold that dog by the ears right to the point where you set him free on the ground. And the second you set him free on the ground, you got to run for your life because that dog is going to bite your rear end. What happened in Vietnam? We got out of Dodge at midnight. We knew we were going. We let the dog down, and we got out so stinking fast, people jumping on helicopters, people, Vietnamese, grabbing a hold of the bars on the Hueys, trying to hang on to get the heck out of there. We vamoosed. What happened in Afghanistan? Same stinking thing. We got to get out of Dodge ASAP. Who cares about the rest? We got to get rid of it. The only way we can get out of here is we got to run as fast as we can from this dog that we just let down. That's Rand Paul. And if we pushed it further, it would have been no different than Khrushchev crossing the line in Europe. We got troops in Ukraine. It'd be like Khrushchev trying to put missiles, which he did, built the missile silos in Cuba. No way, Jack. Ukraine gets to pick its government, but they shouldn't pick the NATO. I agree with Henry Kissinger. Now, cycling back around to my point here, where some think, seem to think that maybe I was raising Putin's stature too high by apparently, and the only way people could think that is by thinking that I was too hard on Joe Biden, that Joe Biden is actually better than he is. I want to point something out here, and I don't say this to take credit for anything. I'm just pointing out what happened. About 3 weeks ago, James Dobson, the illustrious, beloved icon of Family Talk Radio, James Dobson said, somebody has to execute Putin. Somebody's got to get in there. Now, and he got railed on for that. Before that, by about 2 weeks, Lindsey Graham said somebody needs to take him out. Lindsey Graham hasn't said that anymore. James Dobson hasn't said anything more about taking out Putin. When Biden talked about regime change, he walked that back. Nobody's pushed that. But I want to say before Biden talked about regime change, Dobson talked about taking Putin out. Before Dobson talked about taking Putin out, Graham talked about taking Putin out. Before Graham talked about Putin out, and I don't say this with any pride, there was only one person doing any radio program in the United States that said Putin needs to be taken out, and that was I, to use the correct grammar. But why did I say it? Was it because I'm prophetic? No. It's because I study the daylights out of the Word, and I still haven't studied it enough. I could see in the Word where when a wicked ruler gets so wicked that those around them are starting to consider the consequences of that man staying in power as being worse than taking that man out, then those people who surrounded wicked kings in Israel, frequently their bodyguards, i.e. Secret Service, whatever, killed them. Because they said, this is a bigger risk, having this guy in office. Now, I'm not talking about Joe Biden, because I can't say that. That would be illegal. I'm not saying that. I'm saying why I said that it would be all right for Putin's bodyguards, his Secret Service, those close to him, to be taking him out. And why wouldn't they take him out? Because they haven't yet determined who should be his successor. But as bad as as bad as Vladimir is, he's not as morally bad as Joe is, which we're going to cover briefly again to make the point, because this is new ammunition. Joe Biden claims he's a devout Catholic. He's not a devout any. He's a devout liar that he's very devout. But you see, Joe Biden loves abortion. He loves abortion before birth. He loves abortion at birth. And with all the tranny crap, he's now become the international peddler of sex change hormones and hormones for sex change, physical operations where you mutilate genital parts of the children. This guy is from the pit of hell. Joe Biden supports the execution of children in the womb. He supports the execution of children at birth and the continuing virtual execution of children with all this other crap up till whatever age that they want to pick and choose their gender, be operated on, have their life screwed up. And statistics show that there is a significant percentage of kids who perceive that they are the opposite sex. And now we have this loving, affirming care, where they get to feel real good about being screwed up and they go on to commit suicide. Those lives are on Joe Biden. None of those children's deaths are things that Vladimir Putin supports. Yeah, he's savage. He's cruel in Ukraine. I get that. Children are dead all over, but this is the distinction. The death that is occurring by Putin in the Ukraine will come to an end. It will end. even if it's because there's no more children to kill. But it's coming to an end. It will end in time. The deaths for which Joe Biden supports, death in the womb, at the time of birth, and oh my goodness, when I share this new bill that has been introduced in California, known Killifornia, and in Colorado in a few minutes, Joe Biden will support execution of the children physically after the birthing stool experience is completed, and then goes on to support those things which are can be spiritual, emotional, social death for the kids through mutilation and child abuse and the hormones which lead to a significant and meaningful number of suicides. My point, the war on children in the Ukraine will come to an end. The war against children by Joe Biden will go on week after week after month after month after year after year. The death toll caused by Joe Biden will far outnumber the children killed in Ukraine. Not making light in the least. I'm ticked off at both of them. I'm just more ticked off at Joe No Brains Biden. No Morals Biden. As horrible as Putin is, Joe Biden is worse. What if the nightly news, instead of showing the children dead, also showed DNC? What if they showed forceps going in and ripping legs and arms off from the children? What if they showed in Virginia the deaths of children, children being killed that were born, being ignored and being left to rot, basically starved to death in Virginia and some other states? What would be that reaction? Well, planned non-parent would have its fits. We talk about regime change for Russia. Is regime change needed? Yes. It's needed more than ever here in the United States. Oh, this little thing. Let me just pull this out before we get even a little deeper into this. 44. This is a CDC who now admits that the COVID vaccines really don't work. They don't make anything better. People are hospitalized. People are dead that have been vaccinated three times, now four times. It doesn't work. And the masks are worthless. They really, truly are. They don't prevent anything from receiving it, from transmitting it. They now came out, said 44% of all the children have identified as queer, as tranny, no, as being sad and hopeless during the lockdowns. 19% of all those children said they have contemplated suicide. Thank you, jackass Joe Biden, and your children-hating minions you've got underneath you. Because you imposed, this isn't the science, we're not following science, unless we're following political science. Trust me, I took that in college. Putin didn't do this. He's not locking down everybody and having children want to commit suicide. But the entire Biden regime is guilty of the crimes against humanity. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you. We'll be right back.
I'm breaking rocks in the pattern. I broke the law and the law won. I broke the law and the law won.
We are back. This is Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show. James Dobson, bringing that name up again, has called the Biden's actions an outrageous and vile attack against our precious kids. Now, Franklin Graham basically labeled this transgender agenda for kids. He called, use the same word, vile. But you see, I've got to go one step deeper, and I have something to say about Franklin Graham. I really appreciate Franklin Graham. He's got a very different calling than his dad. He made one huge mistake a year and a half ago. He spoke foolishly, prematurely, ignorantly by getting up in the pulpit and encouraging strenuously that everybody go out and get the vaccine from hell. The same vaccine which isn't saving lives, but the vaccine which, as we now know, has caused over 100,000 deaths just from the vaccine. It doesn't keep people. Well, you know what? You've heard that from me. I don't need to go any further. It's cost him some credibility. He's got a little bit of a walk to get back to where he was. He's not where James Dobson is. But I want to take something further because Dobson calls this an outrageous and vile attack against our precious kids. Franklin Graham says that it is vile, vile meaning physically repulsive, of little worth or account. But it goes further. It's not just a vile attack. It is vile. It is horrible. It's the most ungodly thing that somebody could do to children. But what they are missing is they're missing one element. You can't have a vile attack unless it emanates from a vile person. If you're going to implement that, you can only do something that's vile because you don't do something that's vile that's accidental. You can say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was negligent in my being vile. I was negligent." No, vile is an intentional, character embedded adjective. It describes not just what the person does, it describes the person. Joe Biden is vile, wicked, and evil beyond description. And it gets worse, because while Biden is out there advocating that it's okay to mutilate the bodies of children, that they should be able to change their sex at a whim without the parents' knowledge, Joe Biden needs to be sued and take every stinking bit of Chinese money out of his bank account. Bankrupt that jerk. But it gets worse. He's not just out there advocating for child mutilation. Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra, Mr. Becerra, another child wicked from the pit of hell, said that the federal government needs to fund the sex change operations to get the child to be able to deal with his gender identity, blah, blah, blah. He said before the Senate, "I don't equate gender-affirming care with mutilation." How is gender-affirming care? How does ripping out the genitals or doing that painful, ridiculous surgery, which is irreversible, how is that loving, affirming care? You don't tell somebody you don't tell a prostitute that, you know what, I love the business of whoredom. I uphold your business prospects. I want to just love and affirm you for what you do, and that is lay a whole bunch of men for money. You don't go to a drug dealer and say, "I give you this. I want to just provide loving and affirming care. I want to affirm your calling in life." And that is to screw up a whole bunch of people's minds and lives with mind-wrecking drugs. That's not love. That's hatred. You see, the people who speak to queers and these trannies in a way that said, "This is a lie," those are the ones who love them. But they think that they're convicted of their sin. But that's the love, not Becerra, who says we need to affirm this by, guess what? We need to be able to fund it. I mean, the science on the issue confirms that most children with this gender dysphoria, they grow out of it. They get screwed up. They have this certain confusion. But when they grow up that way, but they get confirmed and affirmed as being trannies, then it's a ridiculous number that commits suicide. Not because they didn't get the sex change operation, but because they did, and they're trying to live that style. The fact that it'd be taxpayer-financed, and this, as Katie Pavlich says, this whole of government campaign to promote transgenderism means that Biden is the advocate for child abuse and child mutilation, and which then means he becomes supportive of the child suicides that result. And, of course, Becerra has gone on to say that we proudly say we now have our first state that federal government funds, your taxpayer dollars, are going through Medicare and Medicaid to fund child mutilation and child abuse. So, Joey Baby and Javier Becerra, hope you guys enjoy hell. And you're sitting there thinking, Rob, who the heck are you to judge these two? Did Jesus not say, and I'll tell you why I can say this, because Jesus said it. I'm really only quoting him. You know the tree by its fruit, all the plums from this tree suck. They're rotten. They got worms. In fact, there's poison. There's nothing that either of these men have ever done that is even the bit remotely close to being a righteous act. But Jesus' words, it is better that a millstone be tied around the neck of a person and have him be cast into the sea than to lead one of these little ones astray. So what Jesus is saying to Joe Biden and Becerra and all the other demoncrats that have been loosed, I mean, after all, who let the dogs out? But they've been loosed. Jesus is saying to Joey Biden and to Becerra and all the other Democrat dogs, it would be better for you to die a horrifying death. Go to the bottom of the sea knowing that you are going to drown and you go through those horrifying, painful moments of the transition from life to death as your lungs suck up all the water. You go to the bottom of the ocean or the swimming pool or whatever it is, knowing you're toast. That is better for you than what awaits you. So, how could you not be in hell and have that kind of death be better than what's awaiting them? Now, can they get saved? Yeah. Becerra, maybe. He could have, like, Joey thinks he is, and that's why he's so screwed up, but I don't know that he's got the brain for it anymore. Like I said, he claims he's a devout Catholic, and he's only a devout liar. But at some point, this is going to blow you away. You quit praying for these people. I got to do a program sometime and point out and give applications of where four times in the Bible it tells us to not pray for someone. Well, you got to know when you don't pray for them any longer. It's a waste of time. God said, forget it. I don't say you should say, but you should devote, you should pray for these people. There's sins that are committed that it says in the gospel, in the John's epistles. There's sins that are not unto death. You pray for that. But there's sins that are unto death, and I don't say you should pray for those. Whoa. Jesus. The Holy Spirit telling us are people we don't pray for. Put that in your theology. See how that works out. So, Joe, you know, I have to tell you, people say, well, Aren't we told to pray for our leaders? Well, yes, we are. Pray for those that are in authority. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I pray that every day. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I don't sometimes get into the flesh. Maybe I've been in it today in this program, but it says to be angry and sin not. Can I be in the flesh sometimes? Absolutely. I can understand. But I mean, they say, well, do you pray for our leaders? Yeah, but sometimes that prayer is I pray that they step out in front of a speeding Kenworth. Or I pray 2 Thessalonians 3:2. God, deliver us from wicked men. Deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men, because not all have faith. Yeah, I want to be delivered. Yeah, I want to see regime change. And I'm tired. Honestly, I'm fatigued of people beating up and waging this war against our children. The queer governor of Colorado signs a bill that puts Colorado on the same level as China and North Korea. Jared Polis, the queer in charge in Colorado, signed a bill giving the state the right to abortion. Everybody the right to abortion. I want to just quote. This is how when you are given over to a reprobate mind, this is the other kind of stuff that comes out. Quote, no matter what the Supreme Court does in the future, people in Colorado will be able to choose when and if they have children. We want to make sure that our state is a place where everyone can live and work and thrive and raise a family on their own terms. Let me ask you, Jared, reprobate mind Polis, when you said that you want it to make sure that your state is a place where, quote, everyone can live and work and thrive and raise a family on their own terms. The ones you killed, Jared, don't get a chance to live. Why aren't they included in the everyone? Do you not see the irony of this? A place where everyone can live? The bill that celebrates where everyone can live gives all these people the right to kill other innocent unborn humans. And then we get over to California. I don't even have time to get to what Hillary said today. Gosh, I got to do another program. This bill in California is beyond belief. AB means Assembly Bill 2223. This bill had its first hearing the other day. I don't know how the hearing came out. It's sick. It is so from the pit of hell, I can't believe it. But the bill specifically also going down the same path as Colorado, but it's worse. But Colorado will catch up. Colorado and California are in the race to hell. But the bill, AB 2223, does this. It allows for abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. So you can kill them. Innocent unborn children before they're born, innocent children when they're born, and the bill will allow the execution of your children without question for up to 30 days after they're born, and in some circumstances, 60 days. I'm not kidding. This is how bad that state is. The bill says it decriminalizes post-birth abortion, which is infanticide, the killing of babies up to 1 month, and possibly older. Now, the way it does this is it doesn't say it's legal. It just says that there are no longer any civil or criminal penalties for the mother or for the doctor. But there are penalties, and you can punish law enforcement. You can punish coroners who bring a case against the doctor or the mother for the willing execution of that child within the first 30 days and maybe within the first 60 days. The mother and the doctor can sue the coroner or the sheriff or anybody who steps in to try to save the child's life or to bring a charge against the doctor or the woman. So not only can you kill them, there are people who will have the right to sue if somebody else tries to save them. This is so ridiculously sick. The way it eliminates this is by the penalties is by eliminating civil and criminal penalties for abortions, including perinatal death. So perinatal death is the time, and I'm going to quote the writer of this article, Brian Sussman, but then I'm going to quote California law. He says perinatal death includes the time shortly before and after a child is born. It includes the first 1 to 4 weeks out of the womb. And in fact, he said, existing California law already defines the term perinatal to mean the period from the establishment of pregnancy to 1 month following delivery. Yeah, it's California Department of Health, Title 22, Regulation number section 51179. You get into that, and then that expands the possible application of perinatal to 60 days, meaning under certain circumstances, you can kill them up to 2 months after they've been born. It exempts from prosecution those who've assisted in committing the abortion or a perinatal death. It adds a private cause of action against the state for violations of the proposed law. There's a provision for whether it's the sheriff or the coroner or other parties trying to prevent that born child from dying. There's a provision for the mothers and the doctors to be able to sue and to recover attorney fees. So let's just give another incentive to slimeball lawyers in California. They're not all slimeballs. I'm a California lawyer. But those slimy lawyers will be incentivized to sue police officers and coroners. Joe Biden undoubtedly supports this because he supports all the other things that gets us involved in the legitimacy of killing our children. Joe's goes further. He's fine with suicides among kids that are 6, 8, 10, 12 years old. I'm tired of something here. I just got to share this. And I got to wrap it up or get to another program here. Oh my gosh, I got so much to cover. But I'm tired of people saying, well, these are people I love. They say, well, they're just lost. They're not saved. This is why they're so bad. Well, I've got to tell you something. You don't have to be saved to not think this way. Look, I wasn't saved, but I didn't like abortion. I didn't support abortion when I was radically in this world and lost and gone. I didn't support everything queer. I knew that crap was wrong before I got saved. But this whole idea that somehow you can't get involved in this debate unless you first get them saved is a weenie, feckless way out of the battle by people who don't want to get involved and say, you just got to preach the gospel to them and get them delivered that way because they'll never change otherwise. That's a pile of crap. It's because it's not true. Look, I was preaching at a church in California. It was a saloon. I had done a radio program. A queer guy comes up to me and says, I don't like you. I said, why not? He says, because you hate gays. I said, I don't hate you guys. I hate sodomy. Admit that. I hate purveying and preying upon little kids to recruit them into the lifestyle because that's what the whole bill is in Florida that they're trying to stop is enabling queers in schools, teachers, to be able to pray and cultivate and prey upon little children because you've got to grow them up queer because they aren't born that way. I'll cover more on that next week. He said, well, I'm gay. And I said, no, you're not. He said, I am too. I said, no, you're not. He said, I know what I am. I said, I know what you're not. You've been lied to. You are not queer. You weren't born that way. There's no gay gene. I didn't get to the gospel. And then he said, I'm not? I said, no, you're not. Did he come into church and get saved? No. He turned, hung his head, and walked away. But it was the first time in his life he realized what? He had been lied to. Sometimes understanding that you've been lied to is a precursor to getting saved. Very dear friend of mine. He's now since passed away. Radical atheist. Big evolutionist. Did he get saved and all of his opinions change that way? No. What brought him to the Lord was he find one day who he realized and understood the depth of the science that he'd been suckering up to the lie of evolution. He said, these people have been lying to me. When he got freed of the lie of evolution, macroevolution, like the queer guy, I think, got freed of the lie that he was born that way, he was now open to, hey, what else out there have I rejected that I've called false but is true because I've been embracing a lie? Because the devil's a father of lies. Myself, I caught up in school, the University of Michigan. All I heard were lies. I wanted to be freed from the lie. And when was I free from the lie? Was when I had so many commie professors that were the left of Fidel Castro. I don't know what the truth is, but I know that these suckers are lying to me. I got freed from the lie. How about the woman that I spoke to said that abortion is a... it's a part of my body. You know, I don't know, saved or not saved. I don't know whether the woman was or not. She was just saying, it's part of my body. It's part of my body. I said, no, it's not. She, yes, it is. No, it's not. How is it? I said, look, put a pinprick in each finger. Take it to some lab and find out if the DNA from the blood in the left index finger matches the DNA from the blood in the right index finger. If it doesn't, you belong in a freak show. But if it does match, it only matches because every part of your body has the same DNA. So, why does a child, how could a child be part of your body if it has a different DNA? The woman shrieked in angst because she was convicted of sin. No, she shrieked because of the revelation she had been freed from the lie that it was part of a woman's body. This is what I'm saying. There are all these times that people will back out of a fight because they don't want to be engaged in a frontal combat situation that doesn't necessarily involve the gospel. The gospel would not have initially reached any of these situations that I talked about. These people had to first be set free from a lie. Understand that. You've got to be set free from the lies frequently before the gospel can have an application. What did Jesus say? You got the devil's a strong man. He's a liar. If you're going to take his goods, the people that he's got in prison, in a demonic hell, you've got to bind the strong man. You have to first bind him to take his goods. For those people got to be set free from some lies. And Jesus said this. Jesus worked with the knowledge that salvation does not always begin with the gospel itself. Sometimes that you have to realize that you have believed a lie. Now, is that the work of the Holy Spirit to free you from the lie? Yeah, it is, but it isn't necessarily a gospel message. We know some things to be true by experience. We know some things to be true because we have been taught that. But what did Jesus say that makes this point? He said, if you don't believe my words, at least believe what I do. If you don't believe what I say, believe the experience of being healed, of having your body put back together. If I said you don't believe my words, i.e., you don't believe that I've come from God to change your hearts, at least believe my words, knowing and believing that if I do miracles among the people without them believing that he's necessarily the Son of God, they're being set free from whether it's the rules of the Pharisees and the hypocrites or their own self-imposed prison or something that Satan has wrapped them up in, that they now know who has the answer. But sometimes going to who has the answer, searching out who has the answer like I did, starts with being set free from those who are lying and knowing who is telling the lie. I say all of this. Yeah, this is a war against our children coming from the pit of hell. The dogs have been loosed on this country. And if we don't get judged, I will be so shocked. There's going to be a sequel to this program. There has to be, because there's so much I didn't get to. But you have got to know that if you say, well, this isn't the right time and place to approach them with the gospel, there's never a bad time to approach the gospel, but there's sometimes that you need to precede the gospel, setting the person free. You bind that spirit to be tied up. You take the strong man's goods, and you start speaking forcefully to the lie that has bound that person, whether they're queer, whether they were dealing with evolution, whether it's abortion, you name it. You have a job to do, and it is full-on combat. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. Do not back down. God bless you. We'll see you around the corner in the next program.